Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this beautiful sunshiny morning. Several announcements. Some are in your bulletin, some are not, but first you can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, any information that may have changed, please mark that and let us know that that is a change. Nursery is open. Annual Deacon's Thanksgiving Dinner on Thanksgiving Day will be served at 12. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Also, they need some coleslaw, applesauce, and cheesy potatoes. Someone did sign up that today, but we still need some more. And someone put in a request for sweet potato pie. Deacons will be putting up the angel tree next Sunday after church. There will be 7 families and 21 children all total. So I know you want to look forward to that. The budget and docket are on the back table for December 2nd congregational meeting, where we'll be presenting the budget, voting on my salary packet, and nominations for elders and deacons for that and nominating committee, and be presenting the treasurer and assistant treasurer that are assigned by the session. The Christian Education Christmas Party will take place December the 16th. If anyone's willing to donate a ham, you can contact Brittany Hurst about that. Also, you may have seen the slide presentation about the ornaments. They're very beautiful. There's some hanging on the tree in the back. And you can call Arlie, and her phone number is listed. They're very beautiful. I've already purchased a set. Junior Church is during worship service all but the last Sunday of the month, and that's up through sixth grade. And Gladys Hurst has been moved to the Arbors at St. Barnabas, but if you'd like to send a card, Rom has suggested that you send it to his home so he can take it out there for you. And then we're also taking up for the Sandy victims any clothes, our food items, and there's certain things they would like to take, parting with a different church, and these items are going to Stanton Island. So it's a specific place, and there's also, you can give money through the Presbyterian Church, or you can donate, of course, to Red Cross. So bring those items in, and if you need a list and didn't see it, you can speak with someone, and we'll try to make sure that you have that. Yes. Right there, right behind you. Through the 25th of this month. 25th. Or you can call Shawnee and she will come to your house and get it. Great. Yeah, they want coats and socks need to be brand new, hats need to be brand new, other things can be in good condition. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise number 59, I sing the mighty power of God.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we are so thankful that we can enter into your presence because of Jesus. We worship and praise you because you love us enough to forgive our sins. Forgive us when we fail to enter your presence through prayer, worship, fellowship, and missions. Remind us of the importance of meeting together on a regular basis. Help us to love and forgive one another. Remind us that kindness is contagious. May we show our relationship to Jesus by speaking words that build others up. May people believe we are Christians by the way we act. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again unite in our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Ask someone their name. Have visitors. Have two quick announcements. The women of the church will be meeting after the service in the library. And some of you already know, but Connie Wagner's husband, Connie usually sits right up here near the front. Her husband passed away. I'd gone to see him Wednesday, passed away Thursday. Visitation is at Bach Funeral Home today from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. And then I'll be ministering at the service Monday morning, an outdoor service, and it is a private service. So if you want to go, it is today, Bach, 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. And Mary Ellen Porter has been, I was just told, moved to Rebecca residence. Thank you.
Rejoice!
Our responsive reading is Christian Love, 661. Back of your hymnals, 661. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal.
If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast.
It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears.
When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me.
Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
But now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. You can submit any prayer requests. Try to update you. Mary Ellen Porter was at St. Margaret. She is now at Rebecca Residence. Sue Galley had an operation at St. Margaret's. Sylvia Moran at St. Barnabas, recuperating, had been in the hospital. Gladys Hurst has been moved to the Arbor. She'll be there permanently. Let's keep B.J. Morrison in our prayer. She goes in for surgery on the 30th of November. William Reese, some of you know him. He's been in and out of the hospital, having some seizures and now wearing a helmet. Dan Kroll's doing better. Bob, continue to pray for Bob Merrill. June is doing so much better from her operation. Allie's doing better with her diabetes. Nancy is getting stronger, but still not where she wants to be. I went out and saw Art and Isabel this week. I wanted to get another communion in for Art, even though we don't serve it again until the first of Advent. But Art is very, very weak, as he can hardly speak. So I don't know how much time Art has left. Let's be in prayer for the Wagner family. Mapes Asso's daughter-in-law accidentally passed it down the second time as her daughter. Sorry about that confusion. Dorothy and Christine Gill, who you never really see, but they're at St. Margaret's Hospital with congestive heart failure. Mother and daughter went in at the same time from different places, went ER at the same time with the same condition. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Friend Melanie and Suzanne Connors with some respiratory problems. If her eyes still having some problems. Her boss is in hospice and hope he'll make it to Thanksgiving. Let's be in prayer for him and his family. A couple of people that Lynn works with were diagnosed with cancer. A friend of his, Lou Ritchie, was operated on for sugar on his leg and doing well. So let's keep Lou Ritchie in our prayers. Brother Dave had a stroke this past week. His sister-in-law sees another surgeon about a hernia. Get that over with. Let's pray for the Sandy victims. They're still out there. This is not over with. Let's pray for our church in general. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer, of course, saying debts and debtors. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and it is a beautiful, sunshiny day. Hope to be able to get out and walk some or do some of the things that we like to do, maybe a little bit outdoors, be with family and friends, different activities. But we have taken the time to come into the house of God to worship. You've told us to not forsake assembling together, that we need to meet together to worship you, to fellowship together, to strengthen our lives and to lift one another up in the name of Jesus Christ. So we do that today. We get stronger when we do it. And we take this time now to lift our prayers before you as a collective body of Christ, coming into agreement, asking that our prayers are not only heard, we believe that they are heard, but they are met. And help us to understand, met according to your wisdom and your power, your understanding of what is needed. We love you, Lord, and we know that you love us also. And we understand that this life at times is a great struggle. We don't like it. We don't want it to be that way. Help us to get through the difficult times, the difficult moments, even when they stretch out longer than we want them to be. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, holding on to you as our Lord and our Savior, our friend, our healer, our support. And let those around us minister to us, speaking words that edify us, that build us up, that support us, that show love and compassion towards us. We are your people. You are our God. We are thankful for that. Thank you for helping us. And let us help ourselves, and let us help others in your name. And Lord, thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song this time. Have had one for a while. Knowing You.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks.
Bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We worship You. You are good and You are kind to us. Help us to be kind to others in the gifts that we give back, not just of money, but of words that build up the body of Christ, that edify others, and not just within the body of Christ, but out in the world where our actions and the words that we speak will tell people that we are Christians, that we know and love Jesus Christ, and they might find Christ as their Lord and Savior and come into Your places of worship and be touched and saved and have the gift of eternal life. Help us use all the gifts that You have given us for Your glory. Lord, bless these people. Strengthen them that they might be all that You have called them to be. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't think Bill wanted to read after this to women's name I gave him last week.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Normally, I'm not real nervous doing this, but I just noticed Bill is here, so I feel like the teacher trying to... That threw me for a curveball this morning, but I'm grateful you showed up because I forgot my paper, and he was kind enough to loan me his version, and this is the first time I'm reading in front of my wife, so now it's got really warm up here. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Bless this reading.
Very nice, Paul, very nice. God bless you for doing it. A three-year-old opened his birthday present from his grandmother. It was a water pistol. And he squealed with delight, as you can imagine, and headed for the sink to fill it with ice-cold water. His father was not so pleased. Provoked, he turned to his own mom and said, "I'm surprised at you. Don't you remember how we used to drive you crazy with water pistols?" His mother gave a very wicked smile and said, "Oh yeah, I remember." Has anyone ever heard one of your parents say, "Don't you provoke me"? Maybe it was when they had a water pistol in their hand. What are they saying? Basically, they are saying, "You're making me angry." So you may have learned early on not to provoke your parents. Actually, there's nothing in the Bible about children provoking their parents. However, it does say in the King James Version, the many you're familiar with, of Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." But that's really another sermon. And I bring up this question about parents provoking their children. Excuse me. Because of a remarkable verse lesson from Hebrews. And again, I'm reading this right now from the King James Version. Hebrews 10:24 reads like this: "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That's a very interesting use of the word provoke. Because provoking someone to good works, usually we think of provoking in a very negative sense. You provoke somebody, you get them angry, you get them mad, where they're ready to retaliate and hurt you or fight you or do something bad. Now the NIV that Paul read has a different, the meaning is a little clearer. It reads like this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Here's the first thing we need to see in this passage. The Church of Jesus Christ is intended to be a community that encourages one another and spurs one another on to good works and good deeds and loving one another within the body of Christ, and then taking that out of the walls of the church and doing the same to others with acts of love and acts of kindness. Not just talking about it, but doing it. Is it all right this morning if I tell you a really bad joke? I'm not really asking you permission, because I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just kind of warning you. I usually don't tell jokes about bars, but I couldn't pass this one up. A guy goes into a bar. He's sitting at the stool enjoying his drink when he hears a voice say, "You look great." He looks around and there's nobody near him. He hears the voice again, "No, really, you look terrific." The guy looks around again, nobody. Hears the voice again, "Is that a new shirt or something that you're wearing? Because you are absolutely glowing. You look terrific." Then he realizes that the voice is coming from a bowl of nuts. He looks at a bartender and says, "Hey, what's with these nuts?" And the bartender says, "Oh, they're complimentary nuts." Told you. I warned you. Bad's bad, but it is cute. Don't you enjoy being around someone that is complimentary? It's more fun to have someone compliment you than it is to put you down. Oh, that's a nice haircut, instead of walking, oh, what did they do to your hair today? Which would you rather hear? You'd rather be around someone that lifts you up instead of someone that is always tearing you down. I know personally I would. Maybe you're different. Someone who encourages you. Someone who gives you praise. What is it likely to do for you? Doesn't it make you more apt to encourage even someone else? Builds up your self-esteem. If your self-esteem is built up, then you're able to give someone else kind words and help build up their self-esteem. That's how it should work. There's a commercial on television that I'm pretty sure you've seen. A man walking on a sidewalk sees a small child in a stroller drop a doll. The man picks up the doll and returns it to the child, and the child's mom notices this gesture and smiles at the man. Later, she is walking out of a donut shop, and she sees a man who's reading a newspaper. She notices the cup of coffee that is right on the edge of the table, and she walks over and she pushes the cup of coffee over. Through the shop window, a man notices what she has just done. Later, that man comes upon another man who has slipped and fallen down on a rainy sidewalk, and he walks over to the man and says, "Sir, are you okay? Are you all right?" He says, "Yes, thank you." And a third man notices. Later, this third man is in the elevator, and the doors are closing. He sees a woman hustling towards the elevator, and he pushes open door. She gets on the elevator and smiles, and another man in the elevator notices what he's doing. Later, this man is coming out of a grocery store, and he sees a pickup truck with the topper on the back, and he cannot see behind him, and there's a motorcycle behind him. And this man runs up, and he knocks on the truck and says, "Sir, you're about to run over a motorcycle." So this woman walks by and notices. You get the point. You get the idea. One good deed leads to another. It's a commercial for an insurance company, but in 60 seconds they get a message across. It dramatizes the fact that kindness is contagious. Kindness, I believe, is contagious, and you never know what kind of effect an individual act of kindness will have on someone that you come in contact with. You never know. You could change their day. You could change their whole life. Columnist Leo Eggman in the Atlanta Constitution once told about a family of eight that had a nice plot with a vegetable garden bordered by lilac bushes. A tenant in the back of the house was populated by people who would throw their trash, their old shoes, their socks, everything right into this garden. And the young boys, or the boys in the house that the garden was being assaulted, wanted to go over and tell them off, confront them with anger and words and hostility. The mother, though, had another idea. Woman who was an immigrant who had never gone beyond grammar school in the old country, had never heard of anything called psychology, told the boys to go out and pick some lilacs from the bushes, and then she directed them to give each one of the family members a dozen in a bouquet. Went up to the house and said, "Our mother thought that you would enjoy these." Somehow, a miracle happened. No more trash was thrown into the garden. You never know where a simple act of kindness will lead. Author and motivational speaker Mark Sanborn tells about a shy and self-conscious 15-year-old named Troy. He spent 3 years sitting on the bench of his high school basketball team. He was evidently not going to play. He was thinking about going out for baseball, but his coach discouraged him, telling him outright, you just won't make the team. Tony was cut from seven different sports teams, and his dreams of becoming any kind of an athlete seemed doomed. One morning, a doorbell rang, and Tony answered the door, and a 50-something-year-old man named Frank stood there. He said, Tony, I'm getting ready to go for a jog, for a run. You want to go with me? And this was in 1972, before jogging became a phenomenon in our country. And he said he didn't particularly want to go, but for some reason he said yes, and he went with the man. They went down to the track, and he ran his laps. He ran eight. Did it in 8 minutes. And Frank said, you know, I believe one day you could break the 4-minute mile. The next Monday at school, Mr. Coughlin, the track coach, pulled Tony aside. Just so happened. He said, why don't you try going out for track? Maybe that'll be your thing. So he did. First track meet he ran in, dead last. But he kept it up, and he became one of the premier endurance runners over a 33-year career in America. Since turning 40, he's won 17 triathlons, plus 5 nationals and 2 World Masters championships. He's become a motivational speaker and a creator and director of Miracle Kids Triathlon, a major fundraiser for kids with cancer. He says, I've often thought of how different my life would have turned out if Frank had have jogged by my house instead of stopping and asked me to go for a jog with him. But on that day, he felt a strong impulse to reach out to me. As often the case, the simple gesture done at just the right moment can be a life-changing event. It was for me that day, he says. For those 4 laps gave a troubled teen's life a completely different direction. Now it's changing other people's lives. You never know where an act of kindness might lead for you and for others, and how it might expand out. Jewish physician Boris Kornfield was in prison in Siberia, where he worked in surgery on staff and prisoners. During those times, he met a Christian whose name is unknown, but whose quiet faith and frequent reciting of the Lord's Prayer had an impact on Dr. Kornfield. One day, while repairing a slashed artery on a guard, Dr. Kornfield seriously considered suturing the artery in such a way that the guard would die slowly of internal bleeding. But this act of violence that he recognized in his own heart just horrified him. And he started reciting the Lord's Prayer that he had heard this other man reciting. And a little different from ours, but it said his was, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Afterwards, he refused to obey various inhumane acts and moral prison camp rules, and he knew this put his life in danger. And one afternoon, he examined a patient who had undergone an operation to remove cancer. And he saw in this man's eyes, looked deep into his eyes, we could say the window of his soul. He saw a depth of spiritual misery, and he was moved with compassion on this man. He told his patient the entire story, including his new secret, and it had to be a secret, his faith in Jesus Christ. That very night, Dr. Kornfield was murdered as he slept. But his testimony was not in vain. The patient who heard his confession became a Christian as a result, and he survived the prison camps and went on to tell the world about the Soviet prison camps. That patient was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. who became one of the leading Russian writers of the 20th century, and he revealed the horrors of the Russian prison camps and perils of Russian communism. You never know when an act of kindness, a word of witness to someone about the love revealed in Christ might lead. That is why the writer of Hebrews tells us to provoke or to spur one another on to love and acts and good deeds, encouraging one another. The great writer C.S. Lewis said that you can never tell what another person may become in their life, more like an angel or more like a monster. So we need in all things to encourage one another, to help set them on the right path, direct them, lift them up, bring out the best in everyone that we meet. And he's saying what Hebrews is trying to say. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. A great Jewish rabbi named Abraham Herschel once wrote, "When I was younger, I used to admire intelligent people." And he's a great intellect. He said, "Now that I am older, I admire kind people." It's because he knows that kindness is contagious, and kind people want to build a better world, not just for themselves, but for others. And of course, Christ set the example of love and kindness for us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." In 1990 in San Diego, a conversation took place between Mother Teresa and Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker you've probably all seen on television and infomercials at one time or another, whether you listened to him or just saw him. He's about 6'7". Mother Teresa, about 4'2", quite a contrast. Robbins and Mother Teresa asked her, said, "How did you manage to become so successful and famous?" She just looked up at him and said, "Jesus." Tony Robbins said, "No, I mean, how is it that you run such a huge religious institution, serve the most desperate people in the world, travel constantly, and yet touch so many people?" She looked up at him again with a great big smile and said, "Jesus." "No, I'm asking, how do you do it? How do you carry on with the difficult, extraordinary life? How do you speak to millions? How do you win respect of the world? How do you manage to become one of the greatest people in the world, even in the history of the world?" Mother Teresa looked up at him again with a great big smile and said, "Jesus." Jesus. One reporter that observed this said that Tony Robbins was totally mystified. He just didn't get it. Had no idea what she was talking about. And I ask you this morning, do you know what she was talking about? If you understand, then Christ has touched your life in some way. And the way Christ has touched your life is through someone else that has been touched by Christ. That's how it spreads. That's how it expands. That is why we are to provoke or spur someone on to love and good deeds and acts of kindness. And someday the whole world will know Jesus and his love. I believe that kindness is contagious. So what I want you to do today is go out and infect someone with kindness. God bless you. Amen. Go out and commit a random act of kindness. Freak somebody out. Be nice. A closing hymn, I guess I should announce it. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. 557. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary this day, I hope you feel edified and built up in the love of Jesus Christ. And I hope you take that attitude with you and go out into the world and speak kind words and do good deeds. Help others, even if you don't feel like it. I think it'll make you feel better. And remember to come to church, come to worship, assemble together with other Christians, especially at times when you don't feel like it. That's often when you need it the very most. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.